I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, as we have the last few weeks on Sunday mornings, as we continue this study in the book of Proverbs entitled Spiritual Knowledge, a study wherein the book of Proverbs uses the word knowledge or some referent to it, and the various things that it teaches us on that subject. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse number 1, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll read down to verse number 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, this gives us the reasons why the book of Proverbs were written. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice and judgment and equity, that is the three categories of the instruction of wisdom. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll proceed with the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide us now as we look into the next couple of points of this study and as we consider, Lord, what the pathway looks like, or that is our responses, how we are to walk in this pathway of spiritual knowledge. And where it will aid us in discerning things along the path of that walk. Lord, I pray continue to grow us in spiritual maturity through our study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this first portion of Proverbs, we have encountered a series or a number of words that the book of Proverbs uses in relation to wisdom. Uses the word wisdom, the word instruction, the word understanding, the word knowledge, the word discretion. And we noted in the very first message of this series that those words all relate one to another. The first one is instruction. That is the means by which God seeks to instruct, to build up a structure inside of us of spiritual wisdom, of spiritual knowledge that leads to spiritual wisdom. So that's instruction. That is the work God is doing to work in us His truth. Then comes spiritual knowledge. That is, the instruction is to bring knowledge, spiritual knowledge, into our lives. And as we've gone into the study, we've noted that spiritual knowledge is not just informational, but is in fact relational. Spiritual knowledge, as defined in the book of Proverbs, is to know God. Not just to know about Him or to know His truth, but it is to know Him. It is a walk with Him. Amen? So we have instruction leads to, spiritual instruction leads to spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge then leads to a branch of two things, and that is it leads to understanding and discretion. Understanding, its focus is, and both understanding and discretion have to do with having a clear recognition of how to take spiritual knowledge and apply it to life. It's not the actual doing of the application, but it is the recognition of how to apply it. But there are two aspects to it. Understanding is how to apply the spiritual knowledge that God has taught us to the decisions of life. To the decisions of life, and a multitude of those come at us every day, and we need to understand what's right and what's wrong among those decisions. Discretion is the recognition of how to take that spiritual knowledge and apply it to our own behavior. How we can be discreet. When to speak, when not to speak. When to speak certain words and not other words. When to behave a certain way, when to behave another way. Is there a time to have fun and games? Sure. But if there's also a time to be serious? Yeah. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, right? There's a time for joy and a time for sorrow. Discretion is the ability to know when which is appropriate at any given time. And one of the greatest ways to apply it is discretion with our mouth. Sometimes it's the wisdom of discretion to just say nothing. Other times it is the wisdom of discretion to say something, but then it's a matter of what's the right something to say. So there may be times we need to say something, but then we say the wrong thing. Discretion guides us when to speak, when not to speak, and what to speak, and what tone of voice to speak when we speak it, and when to stop speaking. It's all of those kinds of things. So, we have all those matters. The one we're focusing on is spiritual knowledge. Not instruction, the work of God to instruct us, but rather the spiritual knowledge we gain and glean as He instructs us and what the Word of God says about it. We've noted already the need for spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, that is to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. We need it given because we lack it. We need it. Number 2, the foundation for spiritual knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So what's the foundation? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge as well. That's Proverbs 1, 7 and Proverbs 9, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom as well. And Proverbs 15, 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And so the fear of the Lord is the foundation for the entire process. The beginning of knowledge, which leads to the beginning of wisdom, which leads to the continuing growth in wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the foundation for all of that. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, we could have a whole series of studies on that out of the Word of God. But if we were to boil it down, the fear of the Lord is the priority of the Lord. Putting the Lord first as the priority in everything in our lives. Everything. That's the fear of the Lord. How much of the world walks in the fear of the Lord? How many believers walk in the fear of the Lord? Sad to say, the Lord's not really the first priority in much of the lives of the people of the world, or even in many cases in the lives of believers and in much of their lives. But that is, if you were to boil down the fear of the Lord into its essence, that's what it would be. Number 3 is the rejection of spiritual knowledge. Some people say, I'd like this spiritual knowledge, and then when they're told the price or the cost, they say, never mind. What is the price? Well, we just told you, it's the fear of the Lord. And some won't take it, won't take spiritual knowledge because they don't wish to walk in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why do they despise it? Because they will not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:29. For that they hated knowledge. Why? And did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's the reason why. It's not the knowledge that they don't want, really. It's the price that's required to get it that they don't want. And so they turn their back on spiritual knowledge because they do not wish to choose the fear of the Lord. They do not wish to put the Lord God as the first priority in their lives. Number four, the source of spiritual knowledge. That shouldn't be hard for us to figure out, but the book of Proverbs tells us, chapter 2, verse number 6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's from the Lord and from that which comes forth from His mouth, which is His Word. It's from the Lord our God, from the Word of God. The definition of spiritual knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Notice in both cases, it's not just knowing doctrine, it's knowing God. Knowing God as the Holy One. The Holy One. All throughout the Old Testament, there's various names for God, but one of the common ones is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. Well, brethren, He's the Holy One of the church as well. And we need to know Him as such. The value of spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 8, verse number 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The hunger for spiritual knowledge. Last week, we considered the hunger for spiritual knowledge and the reception of spiritual knowledge. The hunger for spiritual knowledge is broken into two parts. First, we demonstrate our hunger for spiritual knowledge through fervent praying. That is, fervent praying for God's Spirit to guide us in the Word of God and guide us in spiritual knowledge throughout life. Proverbs 2, verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. We cry to the one who gives it. That is God. And so, it's fervent praying to God for His Spirit to guide us in life according to spiritual knowledge. But there's not only fervent praying, there's diligent seeking. Diligent seeking. And that is a diligent seeking in God's Word for truth. It's a diligent seeking of study the Word of God. In the New Testament, we're told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 4, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. In Proverbs 15, verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Proverbs 18, verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. There's a fervent praying for God's Spirit to guide and a diligent seeking in God's Word for truth. And finally, last week we considered the reception of spiritual knowledge. What do we have to do to receive it? There's one thing, what do we have to do to learn it? But then what do we have to do to really receive it as it's being taught? What do we have to do to learn it? That's that fervent praying and diligent seeking or studying of God's Word. But as we study the Word and God's Spirit guides us, what do we then have to do to get it into our hearts? Well, last week we noted that there are two parts to that as well. We need to attend with the ear to hear. Not be dull of hearing, as the rebuke is given in Hebrews chapter 5. We have much to teach you about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is difficult for us to do because ye are dull of hearing. Rather, we need to be like the Thessalonians or like the Bereans, wherein the Word of God says that they were, that they received the Scriptures with all readiness of mind. They paid attention. They had an attentive ear to hear. We need to hear Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to know understanding. In Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 22, verse 17, the first half of the verse, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. But not only do we need to bow down and pay close attention with the hearing of the ear, we need also to open our heart wide and apply our heart to learn. Attend with the ear to hear. Apply the heart to learn. Proverbs 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. In Proverbs 22, verse 17, I read the first half. Let us continue in the second half. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. But now this morning, let us pick up with number 9 on our list, the pathway of spiritual knowledge. The pathway of spiritual knowledge. These last points, as we're considering them, kind of in a sense, what we talk about is the motivation, that is, to value it above gold, silver, above all the material wealth of the world. If you do that, then you will fervently pray to God for His guidance, and you will diligently study the Word of God for His truth. If you do that, then it leads to the next step, and the next step is to have an open ear to hear, to incline the ear to hear, and to open the heart, to apply the heart to actually learn it. But once you get to that point, there is then the next part of the process, and that is to actually begin to live it out. Amen? All right, so you've gone from being motivated, valuing it above all else, so that you go to God and you pray and you say, "Oh Lord God, teach me, guide me by your Spirit." And then you open the Word and begin to study to learn what it has to say. And as you do that, you listen closely, you apply the ear and you, you attend with the ear and you apply with the heart and you let God speak to you and you learn what He has to say. But then it's time to get up and go forth and engage in the pathway of spiritual knowledge, to walk in it. And what does that walk look like? We might say, well, it's a walk of obedience. Well, indeed it is. But let us consider that there are two parts to this pathway of spiritual knowledge. The first one is to turn at valid reproof. Turn at valid reproof. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, the wisdom of God's Word calls to the men of the earth, which are defined in three categories. In Proverbs 1, in verse number 2, she says, "How long, ye simple ones," will you love simplicity, "and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." And then in verse 23, she gives her message to them. And it opens up with this word, "Turn you. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." There's that spiritual knowledge. If we'll turn at the reproof of God's Word, then we can learn the depth of its wisdom. If we will turn at the reproof of God's Word, then we can learn the depth of its wisdom. In Proverbs 19, verse 25, the Word of God says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." What leads him to understanding the knowledge? Reproof. But brethren, you know there's many a time that we as believers do not grow. Though the word of truth is delivered, though it may be delivered by good counselors, or delivered by faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God, or may be delivered in various other ways, maybe even delivered by our own Bible reading, and yet we still do not grow spiritually. And one of the great reasons we do not grow spiritually is because we're not willing to actually turn at reproof. We might even acknowledge the reproof. "Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. I really shouldn't do that." But we never actually make any changes. Could I get somebody to help me real quick? You might not even have to come all the way up here. Just one of you can stand up where you're at. You probably could do it where you're standing. You might just step out in the aisle. It'd be a little easier. Okay, you going to do that right there? Or you want to come up here? Come all the way up here. All right, now when you get up here, just stay looking the direction you are. Stay like that. If I tell Jacob, "You need to turn around and go the other way." And he looks at me and he says, "Okay, you're right. I probably shouldn't be going this way. By the way, if you keep going that way, you're going to run into this. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Don't keep going that way. It's going to hurt." By the way, God tells us that about sin, doesn't He? "Don't keep going that way. It's going to hurt. That's a bad way to be going. But you need to turn around and go the other way." And Jacob stops for a moment. He looks at me and says, "Yeah, you're right. I probably shouldn't go the way I'm going." But he never actually turns around and takes a step the other direction. Did he actually turn? Did he acknowledge that he needed to turn? Sure he did. Sure, he made an acknowledgement. Sometimes we do that with God. "Yeah, God, I know I shouldn't do that. I know I should stop. But we don't stop. We didn't actually turn. Notice the call of wisdom is, "Turn at my reproof, and then I will make known my ways unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So at this point, I've told him he needs to turn around, right? And he needs to go the other way. And he acknowledges that he needs to, but he doesn't do it. Is he learning any wisdom or any spiritual knowledge? Nope. Now, turn and go the other way. You can go all the other way back to your seat. Has he turned now? Is he going the other way? By doing that, He actually has begun. See, because this is the whole thing. When he was walking this way, which we're representing as the wrong way, when he's walking this way, he's not walking in wisdom. He's walking against it. He's walking against God's will, against God's word, against God's wisdom, against God's way. He's walking against it, contrary to it. He's not developing wisdom by doing that. And the only way he can actually develop that wisdom, can actually grow in that wisdom, is he has to stop going that way, has to actually turn around, and has to actually start going the other way. When he starts going the other way, he's begun to walk in wisdom. And not until that point in time. He could stop, in a sense. Which, by the way, in our human lives, we never truly just stop. Because life continues and we continue. We still make decisions. Indeed, could I tell you that if you do this, you're still not right with God. Let's suppose you're doing something you ought not do, and God says, I want you to stop doing that and turn and do this instead. So let's suppose that I stop doing the thing that He told me I was supposed to stop doing, but I never turned around to go the other way. I just simply exchanged this thing for something else and kept going the wrong way. Have I made right with God? But I stopped doing the thing He told me to stop doing. That'd be like, let's say, I don't know. I'm taking heroin. And God, you know, comes along and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit convicts me that I ought to stop doing that. So I stop. And instead, I start getting drunk on alcohol. And somebody come along and say, wow, your life's a mess. No. I stopped doing what God told me to stop doing. But you didn't actually turn around and walk with God, did you? No, you didn't get right with God because you didn't actually start changing your life to go God's way. And you don't learn spiritual knowledge and you don't learn spiritual wisdom if you don't actually turn and go the other way. That's what she says. Turn at my reproof. And I will make known my words unto you. Oh, brethren, it's so important for us to realize that many times we don't grow spiritually, not because the truth isn't available, but because we won't turn at the reproof of God's Word. We just won't turn. We call this by another term, that is repentance. But repentance is not just a verbal confession. You do realize that how many of you, knowing the story of Pharaoh, believe that Pharaoh ever repented? Anyone? All right. How many of you are aware that in the story of Pharaoh, in the account recorded in the Word of God, that Pharaoh did confess his sins more than once? He did. On more than one occasion, under the plague, he would call Moses in and he'd say, Okay, I have done wrong. Please take the plague away. And if you know the story, what happens? Moses accepts that confession, prays to God, God takes the plague away at Moses' request, God takes the plague away, and what is Pharaoh doing by the very next day? He's engaging in exactly the same rebellion that he was engaged in that brought the plague to begin with. How many of you are aware that King Saul ended his life out of the will of God? That is, out of the will of righteousness. How many of you are aware of that? How many of you are aware that King Saul started right? In humility. Righteous before God. How many of you are aware that King Saul in the early years was filled with the Holy Spirit? And under the filling influence of the Holy Spirit of God, prophesied the word of truth. But somewhere along the line, King Saul became proud. In fact, that's the very thing that Samuel confronted him about. He confronted his initial sin, the first sin that King Saul committed for which Samuel confronted him, was not the issue of keeping the animals alive and keeping King Agag alive. That was the second one. The first one was an occasion where Samuel was to show up to make sacrifice unto the Lord at the altar. And Samuel was late, and Samuel was late, and Samuel was late. And so King Saul said, well, the people are getting a bit antsy about this, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And just as he was doing it, what happened? Samuel showed up and confronted him and said, what are you doing? Well, you know, he always had a good reason too, didn't he? At least, it sounded good to him. But it was disobedience against God. And Samuel rebuked him for it. And King Saul said, you're right. I was wrong. But you know, he didn't change. And then came round two. How many of you know that in round two that Saul did say, I was wrong? At first, he said, well, the people. Then he finally admitted, okay, I was wrong. But do you know what he said immediately after that? Anybody know? I was wrong, but Samuel, would you still honor me in front of the people? Even though Samuel had just said to him, because of this, God has removed you from being king. Would you still honor me in front of the people? Was King Saul really repenting? Or was he just looking for public acceptance? There is a difference. Now, you and I can't always discern that difference. Samuel had an advantage. God had told him in advance what Saul's heart was. Moses had an advantage. God had told Moses in advance what Pharaoh's heart was and what it would be. God had prophesied that Pharaoh was going to do exactly what Pharaoh did and told Moses that before Moses ever met Pharaoh for the first time. They kind of had an advantage on that. But brethren, there are people that sometimes make a verbal confession and it's not real. It's not real turning. And therefore, there is no real growing in spiritual wisdom, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual maturity. Because in order to grow in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual maturity, in spiritual wisdom, we actually have to turn. That's the first thing we find in the pathway of spiritual knowledge. We must turn at valid reproof. The second thing is that we must love godly instruction. We must turn at valid reproof and we must love godly instruction. In the New Testament, the Word of God says in Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if we'll allow it to do that work, the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, the instruction in righteousness, what will be the result? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That is, perfected in his character and furnished for godly conduct. Perfected unto godly character, that the man of God may be perfect, that's his own character, and truly furnished unto all good works, that's his conduct. And it all is built on how he responds to the doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction of God's Word. And so it's the same in the book of Proverbs. The truth isn't different in the New Testament from the Old Testament. It's the same here. We need to, if we're going to walk the pathway of spiritual knowledge, we need to turn at valid reproof, and then we need to love godly instruction. Proverbs 12, verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Proverbs 21, verse number 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Why? Because he doesn't argue with the instruction. He doesn't fight against the instruction. He doesn't resist the instruction. He doesn't reject or rebel against the instruction. He loves it. He turns at reproof and loves instruction. If we were to take up the example that we had with Jacob, it would be this. Jacob walked up, and in a sense that was going the wrong way. All right, so he's going the wrong way. And God comes along and he says to Jacob, you need to stop and turn at my reproof and go the other way. And he yields to that. He does. He does stop. He does turn and he begins to go the other way. And as he goes the other way, here's what happens. God comes in alongside of him and says, now that you're going the other way, we will walk together. I couldn't walk in fellowship with you when you were walking that way. You were walking in your own foolishness. You were being brutish. The verse we just read said that, right? You were being humanly brutish. But now that you've submitted and repented and turned to go the other way, we can walk together. And as we walk together, I will talk with you and you talk with me. And what I'll talk with you about are the things that you need to learn. Things you need to know to live your life the right way. And step after step after step of walking in the right way with God is step after step after step of being instructed by God. And when you're instructed by God, what do you learn? Spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom. Now what happens if at some point Jacob decides to veer off and go back the wrong way again? Well, then God stops walking with him and stands aside and simply says to him over and over again, turn at my reproof! Turn at my reproof! Turn at my reproof! Until he does what? Until he turns. And when he turns, God will come alongside of him again and say, okay, now we can walk together and now I can start teaching you again. Now, brethren, I know that we all, day by day, do sin against God. But my challenge would be, turn at reproof quickly so that you can walk more of your time in life with God, learning from Him. Because if you don't turn at His reproof for days and weeks and months and years, that's a lot of time thrown away. And eventually, God's going to say, if you won't turn, well, that's another message. But, Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, the wisdom of God starts out by calling the men of the earth to turn, but ends up by laughing at them, mocking them when they wouldn't. That's a message that's kind of on my heart right now, but not the one I should be preaching this morning. Maybe tonight, maybe next week, in the Sunday evening, I'm not sure where here in the next few weeks that message may possibly come. But the longer you put it off, the deeper the hole gets. And I'm aware that God Himself has the power to pull us out of any miry clay, any horrible pit that we're in. But the problem is that the deeper we get in the hole, the harder our hearts get. And the less likely we are to repent. Will God pull us out of, and can God pull us out of any hole if we repent? Absolutely. He is able. With man, it may not be possible, but with God, all things are possible. But what happens when we get so hard we won't repent? Well, God doesn't pull us out of the hole if we don't repent. And if we won't repent, then eventually God has established that we destroy ourselves in the pit that we have dug for ourselves. Turn at valid reproof. That's where it's going to begin. You will not walk the pathway of spiritual knowledge. You will not grow in the spiritual maturity of spiritual knowledge if you won't turn at the valid reproof of God's Word. And if you won't love godly instruction. Let me give one other main point with three subpoints here this morning and we'll be done. That's the discernment of spiritual knowledge. The discernment of spiritual knowledge. To take our picture as we have, first, that motivation, to value it above all material possessions. Because of that motivation, of that value for it, what do? We begin to pray to God fervently and say, "Oh Lord God, send Your Spirit to open my eyes to see wondrous things out of Your law." And then after praying that, we open His Word and begin to learn what it has to say, read and study what it has to say. Fervent praying and diligent seeking. From that, we begin to learn truths of God's Word and we incline our ear to it and we apply our heart to it. And that's the next step that we have there, is we begin to truly learn it. Let it get into the heart. But as it gets into the heart, it begins to bring us to the realization that God is telling us to correct some things. He's reproving us of some things. He's rebuking us of some things. He's telling us there's some things wrong. He's saying there's some things that need to stop and some things that need to start, some things that need to be replaced, and he's trying to correct our lives. And now comes the decision. Will I turn at His reproof? If we do turn at His reproof, and we begin to walk with Him in the right way, having turned in His reproof, He will then teach us His spiritual knowledge. We walk with Him, and as we walk with Him, we begin to grow in love for that wondrous truth of His Word. How often did the psalmist in Psalm 119 say, "I love Thy commandments. I love Thy statutes. I love Thy judgments. I love the things that You teach from the Word of God." He walked with God and he learned to love the instruction of God. But as you're walking in that instruction, so you've turned it, the reproof, as He tells us, as He reproves and rebukes, we turn it, we're corrected by it, and we're walking with Him, and we're learning, we're growing in His instruction, we're growing in that spiritual knowledge. What are we going to find? We're going to find discernment. The more you walk with God, the more He teaches you His spiritual knowledge. The more you learn His spiritual knowledge, the more discernment you have in life. The more discernment you have in life. And you'll find discernment in three areas of life. First, you'll grow in deeper discernment of the truth of God's Word itself. Do you know that baby Christians cannot grasp all of the deep truths of God's Word? Baby Christians cannot grasp all of the deep truths of God's Word. But God intends for baby Christians to grow unto the maturity where they can. How do they grow unto that? The very process I told you. Through that process of walking with God, they grow in spiritual maturity. Through that process of walking with God, you can grow in spiritual maturity. And as you grow in spiritual maturity, you'll grow in discernment of God's Word. You'll not just be able to discern the milk of the Word, you'll be able to discern the meat of the Word as well. And not all Christians can. Not all genuine believers can partake of the meat of the Word. Some are still stuck on the milk because they didn't grow. A lot of the reasons why they didn't grow is because they wouldn't turn at reproof. But the first area of discernment is that you, as you begin to grow and walk with God, you begin to develop a deeper and deeper discernment of the very Word of God itself. How many of you have found in your Christian life that the more time you spend in the Word, the more you encounter things that you didn't catch before? And you say, "Wow, I've read through that how many times? Preachers preached on it and I never got it." No, it's not that you didn't read it. It may not even be that you didn't know it was there, but you just didn't really get it. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, the wisdom of God's Word says, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain." So all the words of her mouth, that is all the truth, all of the words of God's Word are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. If you find the spiritual knowledge, remember, we might say, "Well, wait, this is a little backward. I thought spiritual knowledge was my ability to discern the Word of God." No, spiritual knowledge is you walking with God. Remember, the book of Proverbs does not define spiritual knowledge as you knowing the information of God's Word. It defines spiritual knowledge as you knowing God. Now the process is, as you learn some truth from the Word of God, that is a reproof that says, turn. If you're willing to repent and turn and begin to walk with God, you're walking with Him. He teaches you, and as He teaches you, you grow in spiritual knowledge and discernment. And the more you grow in spiritual knowledge and discernment, the more you can grasp from the Word of God than you could grasp before. The more plain the Word of God gets, the more open it becomes. Do you know why? First Corinthians chapter 2. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Or is it 2 Corinthians? Now I'm confused. Right now I'm going to say 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If I'm wrong, you can correct me after the service. I'm going to get a call from somebody who listens to this in a few months on the online. I'm going to get some kind of message. Nope, it was 2 Corinthians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we are told deep into the chapter that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'll stop for a moment. The things of the Spirit of God. It is 1 Corinthians. Yay! The things of the Spirit of God, what are they? Well, earlier in the chapter it said that they are the things that God hath revealed to those of us that love Him. Things that He's revealed to those of us that are His children. And that is God's Word. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Word of God. So it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and the reason he doesn't receive them is because they're foolishness to him. And the reason that they're foolishness to him is because those things require spiritual discernment. They are spiritually discerned. And the natural man, that's the unsaved man, is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. He has exactly zero spiritual discernment. Okay, so the unsaved man cannot get the wisdom of God's Word because it requires spiritual discernment and he doesn't have any. But let's talk about the believer who's carnal, who's walking after the flesh, genuinely saved, even has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within, but is walking after the flesh. How much spiritual discernment does that believer have? Well, more than the unbeliever. More than the unbeliever. But how much? Not a whole lot. Those things require spiritual discernment. And that believer isn't walking after the Spirit. That believer is walking after the flesh. And therefore doesn't get it. You know, sometimes preachers, I'm talking about biblically faithful preachers, there's plenty of preachers out there that will wow you, but they're not preaching the Bible. They can thrill you, they can excite you, but they're not preaching the Bible. But there are preachers that stand up and preach God's Word faithfully, and still, people leave going, that was boring, that was useless, that was worthless, there was no value to that. Now, sometimes preachers just are dead because they're not filled with the Spirit and they're not really preaching the life of God's Word. But there are some times that God's preachers are preaching God's Word of truth. Let me give you some names. Names I can prove to you that they were preaching God's Word of truth. And God's lifely truth. Remember, God's Word is quick and powerful. Quick means alive. They were preaching that living Word of God, and yet the people thought it was boring and useless and worthless and to be rejected. I'll give you some names. You ready? Isaiah. Jeremiah. Ezekiel. Hosea. And yet the people of God rejected their preaching, saying, this is boring and this is junk and this is worthless and I'm not interested and there's no value to any of this. Do you know why? Because those people were carnal. They They were worldly. And because they were worldly, they didn't see any value in God's wisdom. They lacked spiritual discernment. And remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because to him they're what? Foolishness. Did you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right after making that comment and a few other verses in chapter 2, chapter 2 ends and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 opens and Paul says, "And ye are carnal, because you walk as men." Meaning you're walking just like the natural world. And that's why, well, I can't give you the meat of the Word of God. Because you can't get it. It'll be foolishness to you. Now, they were believers. He called them believers, right? In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. He clearly indicated that they were brethren, that they were believers. But he said he still couldn't give them the wisdom of the Word of God because they were walking in carnality. They were walking after the flesh, not after the Spirit. You see, to really discern, to grow in discernment of the deeper wisdom of God's Word, I'm not talking about reading between the lines. I'm talking about the actual wisdom that is right there in print. To grow in discernment of that wisdom, you must walk with God. You must turn to the reproof He's already given. You must love the instruction He's already given. You must walk with Him in the things He's already taught you. Or else He's not going to teach you more. Because you won't be able to receive it. Because it requires spiritual discernment and you're not growing in spiritual discernment. The discernment of spiritual knowledge, first of all, is a discernment in God's Word, in the deeper wisdom of God's Word. But it's also a discernment in life's complications. Does life ever get complicated? Beth would say in one word, leukemia. Life gets complicated. The whole country could say in a phrase, life gets complicated. COVID-19. Does life ever get complicated? Gallbladder surgery. I mean, we can list off a lot of different things. Right now, I'm staying on health ones because those are safe. You know, in a sense, we could list off spiritual problems. We could list off people conflicts. We could list off family conflicts. Life gets complicated. What gives us the discernment to see clearly in the complicated paths of life? The spiritual knowledge. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. The wisdom of God's Word says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." The phrase witty inventions refers to all the different complicated things that might come at us from this world. The inventions of the world, the inventions of life, the inventions of people. In one way, you could look at it like the phrase of con men. Complicated your life by trying to con you, and they can get really deceptive and really witty about it, really good at it, at deceiving and pulling the wool over your eyes. But life in general can be that way, partially because the devil's always trying to be the greatest con man ever to try to deceive us about the real way that we ought to go. All of the complications of life. But the wisdom of God's Word says, I can give you the discernment to see through it. To deal with it the right way. To not make a misstep. Not only can the spiritual knowledge grant us discernment to go deeper in the wisdom of God's Word, but it can grant us the discernment to see through all of the complicated darkness of the problems and tribulations and complications and confusions of life. But I say to you again, you don't have it if you don't walk with God. Remember, you got to turn it as reproof and love as instruction. Walk with Him. Love walking with Him. And as you do that, you develop the discernment to discern the deeper wisdom of God's Word and to discern the right path through the complications of life. There's a lot of believers facing complications of life. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this. You walk with God, you'll face complications. Life will still give you complications. You don't walk with God, and you're still going to face complications. It doesn't matter whether you walk with God or don't walk with God, you're going to have complications in life. The difference between the two is that those who walk with God can see, can discern the right path through the complications of life. Whereas those who don't walk with God will find themselves in the pit of quicksand, going under, going down. Because they won't see clearly. They will take misstep after misstep. In fact, they may take misstep and then another misstep to try to correct the first misstep and another misstep to try to correct the misstep of the second misstep of the third missteps after the misstep from the misstep. Now they don't even know where they are. But it's because they lack the discernment of spiritual knowledge. And that's because they wouldn't turn at the reproof and love God's instruction by walking with Him. Finally, the discernment of spiritual knowledge is not only in God's Word and in life's complications, but it's also in life's decisions. In life's decisions. A scorner seeketh wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom. He seeks to understand the right decision to make, but he findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. The scorner has to make decisions in life just like the wise man does. The rebel against God has to make decisions in life just like the faithful servant of God does. They both have to navigate through life. But while the rebellious scorner is seeking for the right answers, he never finds them because he's looking in all of the wrong places. But the faithful servant of God, he just turns to God standing next to him who he's walking with, right? He's walking with. He just turns to God and says, "So what's the right answer?" And God says, "That one." He says, "Okay." And the next decision of life. "So what's the right answer?" And God says, "That one." And He says, "Okay." Let's talk about Israel in the wilderness for a moment. Not during the 40 years wandering. Push that off the list for a moment. Just in the first year or so. The escape from Egypt, getting to the Red Sea, being trapped, being untrapped. That was a pretty cool moment. Getting to the place where there was water, but it was poisonous. The Bible word for it is bitter. But that means it was poisonous. It would have killed them if they drank it. It would have killed their animals if they drank it. And having God provide a miraculous way, throw the tree in the midst of the poisonous water and the poison will be healed. I believe possibly a representation of the cross being brought into the poison of our sin and cleansing it. Going to another place and having no water at all. And that's where He's to strike the rock and the water comes forth. This is not the speak to the rock moment. That was during the 40 years wandering. Along all those steps, even with the complications they ran across, when they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, did they make any missteps? Did they make any missteps when they followed the cloud and followed the pillar of fire? Not when they followed it. Now we know they made some missteps, like at the bottom of Mount Sinai, they rebelled against God. But they didn't take any missteps on the path. Sometimes they had missteps in their attitude. See, when you're following God, you step exactly where you need to be. Was being trapped at the Red Sea a misstep? No. Nope. It was exactly where they needed to be. For God to do exactly what He needed to do. Destroy the armies of Pharaoh and Pharaoh so that never again did they see the Egyptians chase them down during the rest of their time in that generation. Never again. Generations later, they battled with Egypt after they were settled in the Promised Land. But that generation never again had to deal with the Egyptians. God needed the Red Sea event to do that. When they got to the place where there was poisoned water, was it a misstep? When they got to the place where there was no water, was there a misstep? No, that was exactly where God put them. So that God could do what God intended to do, to show them His power, to show them His provision, to show them His grace and His mercy and His help and all of that He needed to show them. I know that they rebelled at times. Lack of faith, lack of obedience. But the path they followed, when they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they didn't take a single misstep. They were always where they needed to be at the time they needed to be there. What would have happened if one of the tribes decided to go off on their own? I think we'd be calling them the lost tribe of Israel. There's that phrase out there, by the way. But I think that's what we'd call them, the lost tribe of Israel. Which one? Oh, the tribe of Dan. They just kind of wandered off on their own. What happened to them? We don't know. They never came back. See, brethren, there are complications in life. So how do we discern? There are decisions in life. How do we discern? There is the Word of God to study. How do we discern? Well, we discern through spiritual knowledge, and that is knowing God, walking with God. That's how we discern. That's part of the benefit of this spiritual knowledge that is presented to us in the book of Proverbs. In the next message, we're going to have a point with a series of subpoints, not just two or three, and that has to do with the deliverance. That's one of the other benefits of the spiritual knowledge. The points of deliverance that it provides to us, because it not only gives us discernment, it also provides us with deliverance from various things in life that are and would be destructive. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your message. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to truly take to heart its truth, its correctives, its instructives. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be just what it says, to have ears inclined to hear and hearts applied to learn. So that really we are walking in the way that we ought to walk with You, growing in the discernment You desire us to grow in, that spiritual maturity, to be able to partake of the meat of the Word, not just the milk. To be able to apply the meat of the Word to our complications and decisions, not just be on the milk forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.